You're listening to Around Comics, episode 111.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
And,
well, hello, return.
Yes, the band is back together again.
Yeah, we're all back together.
We were so lonely last week without you guys.
I could tell. If you can't tell what my function on the show is, my function besides my quick remarks and quips is to fucking bitch the whole time about how long the show is.
And we
that's
appreciate
why the shows
that.
Are so long.
They weren't so, that much.
They didn't have to deal with me being like, God Christ, can we
Tom,
finish
the thing? The thing you don't understand, though, is that we
it
cut those shows. Wait, yeah. Both of those
oh,
shows
what, really?
Were 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, the Frank Miller one was cut from about 2:10 to hour 40.
I guarantee it's part of the Frank Miller show when you're both like, I like Frank Miller this much. No, I like him this much.
I've got what sucks for listeners out there is that I probably have another 20 minutes of John Byrne clips that we could have put in that no one will ever
Weird
hear.
That you didn't find space in it.
Someday
96
we'll
minute
that.
Long show.
We're holding on to it for the archive.
Yes, yeah, so
the
that'll
special edition DVD.
The omnibus.
Frank Miller Spotlight Absolute Edition.
We have no problem talking.
Back from Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina is the artist of the new X-Men, Marvel exclusive artist, Mr. Scotty Young.
I'd like to be referred to as Space Lord Mother from now
you're,
on.
You must be flush with cash from the con because you're decked out in an entirely gold suit, and you just bought $9,000 worth of trades.
Yeah, don't forget my size 13 gaiters I got on.
15 gaiters.
I did buy a huge stack of trades just now.
We are nerding you up, my man.
Two weeks ago, before I left for Charlotte, I bought, like 12?
Yeah.
Today, how many did I buy today, Mark?
You bought, I think,
12 again. Another 12. There is no end to my pockets.
And that's why I like him.
He has almost
he
every
my favorite artist.
He has almost every essential now.
He is
every essential.
Yeah, Scotty's nerding
he's
up. Before the show started, he's like, where's a good place to start with Starman?
If I really want to get Iron Fist, where do I start?
Yeah. I love ballet shoes.
No more booties. No more booties.
All right.
All right, folks. This is one of our Monday news and reviews episodes.
And
before
previews.
We get
and
previews.
And
yes.
Feature stacks.
Before we
NRP.
Before we get to all that, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, and others. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend. I just put an order in today.
Did you?
I ordered. I ordered the All-Star Superman hardcover.
Nice.
The Tales from the Crypt, Volume 2 from the EC Archive. A couple of other trades. I think Age of Bronze, Volume 1. I want to check that out. And something else, some other hardcover. I'm trying to remember what it was. I can't remember off the top of my head. Another hardcover. I'd like three hardcovers and two soft covers. I ordered a bunch of stuff.
Too hard, too soft. Sounds like a Taco Bell order.
I went to went there today to order something, but no, they didn't have,
you didn't? They
have
didn't
what
have
I wanted.
Mm-mm. What were you looking for?
I was looking for a book.
Scotty Young's greatest.
Yeah.
Works, and it hasn't been made yet.
Yeah. I was looking for the ultimate art of edition.
Scotty Young. Omnibus.
Yeah.
Absolute Omnibus edition.
But instead.
Like everything else in my life, it's made of holograms. open. No, really, I was looking for anything by the artist Andrew Robinson.
Oh, that's the guy you met. You ran into him in Philly,
yeah,
right?
I met him. I've been
at
Heroes in Charlotte. Yeah, I've been a fan of his for a long time, but I've missed a lot of comics over the years. But he's such an awesome artist. I know he's done little things here and there. I think actually Starman, he did a little run on that. So I went there today and looked for. Put a little search.
A little search through.
Yeah.
Didn't pan out for me.
You mentioned holograms and visitors to Chicago, so check out the Museum of Holography.
I've been there.
Really?
Yeah.
It all looks like Trapper Keeper covers, doesn't it? it looks like sharks.
It is bizarre. There's like a skull. There's the
Michael
lady
Jordan
with the,
shooting
yeah,
a three.
Yeah, there's the lady with the
shooting
thing.
A three.
Yeah. There's
it's like
the,
a museum.
That's one of the biggest pieces there, isn't it? The Michael Jordan one? That one's huge.
It's a lot of holograms of you... Looking into a hologram that's looking
back at you?
Or looking into somebody's apartment.
Yeah.
There's like three of them.
Very voyeuristic. There's the one where it's like looking
like
through
bucks.
A binoculars or a telescope into somebody's house.
Into Mike Dicka's house.
Yeah, something like that.
Check out the Museum of Holography.
There you go.
And whenever you're not doing that, you can drop into Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. And Around Comics is recorded here every Friday at 7 o'clock. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
This place is a hub. I mean, I look around, I see...
Friday is the new Wednesday.
Dave Wachter is here. Wachter.
Mike Norton's asleep on the floor.
Chris Burnham. I mean, it's just unbelievable who you may run into while
Dustin
you're here.
Grace. Mr. Burnham, how you doing?
Pretty good.
What's up?
Mr. Elephant Man? When's the graphic novel come out?
Quit asking.
November.
Hey, let's get back to... Hey, I'm sure it'll be in the news when
it will be
out.
In the news when it comes out. And speaking of, it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, guys, right off the top here, we were talking about Heroes Con, and Philly was the same weekend, so this is going to be our recap of some of the Saturday-Sunday news that we weren't able to cover last week. One of those stories is that Peter David is going to be taking over She-Hulk when Dan Slott leaves. That's going to begin with issue number 22 this coming September.
Wow. Interesting.
Very.
One thinks, how often can one go to the Hulk Peter David well, though?
Well,
a bit.
It'll be interesting to see if he does sort of look at what he did on the Hulk and bring that to to She-Hulk, or because She-Hulk's always been more of a comedic book. Will he go completely in a different direction?
And this version's very much Dan Slott's. I'm surprised they're carrying it on without Dan Slott.
Well, I think Peter David's the kind of writer that can walk into that series and pick up some of those comedic moments, but once again make it his own book.
I mean, Slott also followed a lot of what Byrne did too. I mean, Byrne had a lot of that sort of fourth wall weirdness.
There's a huge gap of time in between those two.
Absolutely.
You know, like it's not like he started writing it.
Right afterwards.
It had a bit of freshness to it, you know, because it's been so long.
It will be interesting to see, and I'm kind of interested why, you know, I don't know if Dan Slott's just sort of tired with that book. I mean, I know he's doing The Initiative, which has been really good and a completely different type of book.
Yeah.
And David's leaving, you know, Peter David's leaving
I still think that
Spider-Man.
Dan Slott's, I think they're switching spots. I think Slott's
going
to go to Amazing, one of the three Amazing titles.
The Weekly Amazing?
Yeah.
That's semi-weekly, kind of weekly? Tri-weekly?
It's tri-monthly? Weekly with training wheels. Weekly with training wheels, so you have a week that you can play around with.
But you couldn't ask. I mean, Peter David is an extremely good writer and very accomplished. And one of my favorite books is X Factor. So we'll see what She-Hulk has, or what he has in store for She-Hulk.
And Marvel is talk about going back to the well. Marvel is going back to the House of M well.
Oh.
They're
going
to do a 4-issue miniseries titled House of M Avengers, and it's going to be written by Christos Gage.
One of your new favorite guys. You've become a huge fan of Gage.
I really like everything I've read that Gage has done.
Stormwatch.
Stormwatch PhD is great.
Awesome book.
Really liked the Union Jack miniseries. I thought that was
I'm going to be Mr. Negative. Well, not negative, but Mr. Questioning.
I'm just kidding.
Does this strike anyone as weird? Was anyone clamoring for a House of M follow-up? I mean, to me, the reception of it was very much once it was done. I mean, it was sort of done. And it just strikes me as odd that they would think that there's sort of a demand
for a House of M. Well, I know that they have you have the X-Men Endangered Species, which deals with the repercussions of House of M, or one of the aspects of House of M. So I don't know if maybe they're trying to play off of that, or if something that's going to connect, that's going to make House of M more relevant.
I think it's almost like an Elseworlds feel to it, or it's an alternate reality. But
some of those House of M stories that they did, in the other books were actually pretty good. And
I just think it's so weird, especially in a time where it seems like both of the big two are so focused on
the event
that's going on now, that they would
go back to
an event that's now literally not the last event.
Right.
It's two events ago.
Well, this one is going to center around Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Hawkeye, Misty Knight, the Sons of the Tiger, etc. That was the Freedom Fighter group, the Rebellion group.
Chris Cage is a good writer. It'll be fine. I just find it odd that they picked this
to do it with.
Yeah, it just seems odd.
Well, it could be very good. Yeah,
I mean, we'll see. It just seems like a weird little thing.
Dwayne McDuffie is taking over writing duties on JLA. So, Tom, you're our resident DC guy, even though Sal and I are catching up. We're catching up. What do you think about McDuffie taking over JLA for Brad Meltzer?
I think it'll be good. I think one of the big criticisms maybe of the Meltzer run has been sort of the spaced out, like, slowness of it.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be an issue with McDuffie. If you've been reading his Fantastic Four, which I have, he's all about jamming in about as much as he possibly can into an issue. And it also brings up the idea of, like, can you think of too many people who... I couldn't think of anyone who's written the Fantastic Four and the JLA
at the same time.
So close together or at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking about the two big two, like, those are your...
I can't remember anyone doing that. I mean,
Claremont has, but not
at the same close, not
to
close
each
together.
Other,
they were
not
spread
well.
Out. Well, he did Fantastic Four. Did Byrne's never done JSA, right?
He drew it when Claremont did his
run.
Yeah,
but he didn't write it.
But I think for McDuffie, who hasn't necessarily had a huge amount of success in comics, really sales-wise, to get both of those, I think is a really huge thing. Because obviously they're looking towards someone who's been successful in a different medium, which is the animation side.
Right.
And he obviously knows how to do those types of stories. So.
Well, I mean, like you said, he certainly proved himself on on Fantastic Four. His run on it so far has been really good. And I'm interested to see, expanding the group and seeing what he does.
Let's them write everything.
Just every book that ever comes out?
Every book from the big two.
Maybe just every team book. How about that?
He's doing it well so far.
He is doing well.
All right, guys. Next story. There are wedding bells in the DCU.
I love weddings in comics. There's nothing more exciting.
The
thrilling.
Gripping action of being hot in a suit. Is there any way that... and I'm sure Judd Winnick will find a way to make me feel uncomfortable.
Who will catch the bouquet is what
Whose suit will be gay?
The big question is, will the next editor-in-chief or executive editor, whatever they call the position, at DC refer to the wedding as when the character of Green Arrow started to go downhill?
He might, and then have to kill off Black Canary.
I think it's weird that there's a Green Arrow, Black Canary wedding special, there's a JLA wedding special.
There's a one-shot.
And
a
Black Canary wedding planner.
Good Lord.
Aiming this towards lonely middle-aged women?
As much as we hear about, you see the pandering of comic book
Who the hell are they pandering to? Right?
Well, but that's what I mean. It's like weddings. You know, it's like
every dude loves a wedding comic.
I couldn't be more in the demographic of mainstream comics, but I could give a shit about whether or not who's getting married to who.
I mean, for longtime fans of Green Arrow and Black Canary, I guess this is a big deal, but DC really seems to be making a big deal out of this.
Going back to the MJ Peter Parker thing, mm-hmm. I don't know if you happened to listen to a couple episodes back, panelologists at work who are hilarious. Mm. Those guys do a great
very
show.
Very English, though.
They are very English.
They speak English. I can't understand
it. Yeah, I know. But they're really funny. But they were talking about, they think that it was just a brilliant marketing ploy by Joe Quesada to sit there and go, a year ago, start complaining about MJ ruining Peter Parker. And then now you have the one more day storyline where it's like the threat of MJ being killed, and they're like, they're not going to kill her. It was just this brilliant marketing plan by Joe Quesada to get everybody interested in that,
like,
in that
book.
Most people know who MJ. No, you know, most people probably have never firsthand read a Gwen Stacy book. Like,
right,
I know there's
right.
the illusion where everyone's like, oh yeah,
poor Gwen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, no one gives a shit because no one's read them. Read them in Essentials. Sorry, old timers.
Tom,
it's just like Barry Allen when people are like, oh, they'll bring Barry. You know what? Barry Allen's book got canceled because no one gave a shit. You know, but for most readers, Wally West is the Flash. For most people,
it's the illusion of nostalgia, maybe.
Yeah. Like, I wanted that back. But the one thing I want to mention before we go on is that they have done a good job of putting someone on each book that I would actually buy it. Because Amanda Connor is on the Green Arrow, Black Canary. And
I think with Jimmy Palmiotti.
And
right?
Dwayne McDuffie is doing the JLA wedding special. So.
Oh, crap.
And Jay Torres.
I'm going to have to buy
fucking, him. Fucking tricky.
Well, Jay Torres is doing the wedding planner.
The Wedding Planner.
Wedding Planner, just the name.
Is that with J-Lo?
Sorry.
Is J-Lo in that comic?
It sounds like a shitty...
Well, speaking of Wally, I know it's not in the news, but
spoilers.
It's certainly... Spoilers! if you don't know...
Well, if you haven't read the JLA conclusion...
The Flash... 13. Fastest Man Alive 14, you know, Bart's dead... And Wally's back.
We'll talk about this later.
Amazingly. Oh, I'm sorry.
God, you're cutting me off.
Right? Oh, you want me to just forget all that whole part? We can cut
it
off.
No, we're teasing.
Oh.
We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Tom,
this is a teaser.
We need to have an entire episode where you explain current DC continuity, because I'm getting really confused.
About the Flash?
Of the Legion and Countdown and JLA, JSA and Brave and the
Bull. Just ride the wave, baby. Don't worry. Just enjoy it.
It's why is Karate Kid on the satellite
so,
in this issue?
Back to the Flash.
Yes.
How do you feel about Wally being back and Bart being dead?
Well, I'll talk about this more when I do my top of the stack. But I think it's fine. I mean, you have to separate editorial decisions from creative.
Right.
You have to separate what they decided to do against
how they did it.
Yeah. You know, like, there's two... Maybe I don't necessarily agree with the editorial, but how it was done, I thought was done in a pretty nice way.
Sure.
The decision to do it may not be the...
Questionable.
Might be questionable, but the execution, I thought, was pretty good. But
as long as
they don't have, like, a Flash... if they had a Flash wedding special.
You would still buy that.
Right. Next story.
Jay Torres is doing one of those wedding one-shots. He's also going to be penning...
Are they doing one for every bridesmaid or something? That's what I'd do. I would bridesmaid special, baby.
The Donna
get it out there.
Bachelor party.
Where is the Ollie Queen bachelor party?
Where's the Brad Meltzer, like, tell me Brad Meltzer
cocaine and
like,
hookers.
Brad Meltzer wouldn't want to write a Green Arrow fucking
Gulliver
bachelor
Queen
last night of bachelorhood.
Right now, Brad Meltzer's like, he just went Beeble Boy.
Yes, he did.
He's like, I
gotta get on that. We're gonna get that out in the next solution.
That's my idea, DC.
Don't steal
it. Well, Jay Torres is gonna be doing a four issue miniseries on the Wonder Girl Champion. So Cassie is finally gonna get a miniseries.
It's Wonder Girl Champion.
Wonder Girl champion.
I hope she doesn't just complain about Superboy being gone the whole time.
Oh, that would suck a little bit, yeah.
They've kind of had that character in limbo since then, yeah. Because she's,
you know, speaking
really kind of been weepy about it.
Of Kal-El, I have to go back to what I had said originally when he died. I made a comment around the lines of, I didn't give a shit. But after I've been trying to catch up on the John's Teen Titans.
Yeah. Good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And you know what? I actually felt that, you know, if you had read that stuff and then, you know, his death did mean a lot more, and especially to Tim Drake, so.
Tim Drake.
There you go. Sorry.
We talked about this week about poor Tim Drake.
Poor Tim Drake. Poor Tim. We'll get into that. Yeah. We can get into that
later.
Yeah. Poor Tim.
Poor Tim. But anyway, so Wonder Girl, I like Cassie as a character. Once again, from reading the John's Teen Titans, I enjoyed that. And so it's good to see her get a series. I'll pick it up. I like the character.
I like Jay Torres. So.
Yes. He writes the Degrassi.
Jesus. All right, next story.
It looks like Marvel is going to finally complete a storyline that started way back in Marvel Ultimate Team-Up number 3, which was Bruce Banner telling young Peter Parker about there's basically no one to trust, and there are levels of corruption that go deeper than you could ever imagine. And Brian Michael Bendis is getting ready to pen the Ultimate Origin miniseries, which is going to dive deep into the history of the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's kind of interesting. How do you tell a history of a universe, though?
I think the ultimate.
It's almost
line,
like a backstory, I think.
I think the ultimate line served a certain purpose. I think a couple like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
I think almost Marvel's almost set up like a weird dichotomy where one of the two has to be the important one. Like you can't. Both of them.
They created a new line of books and a new universe where continuity wasn't important. You could jump in pretty much at any time, and now they've developed continuity.
Enough continuity to have to tell a story. And then at the same time, they say, oh, well, look at what all our normal books have. You know, like,
right.
This is what we're also
Don't forget
doing
about
over.
These. Don't, yeah. Yeah.
So I think they've sort of... If you have a universe that now demands a story to tell its origin, that now means you have continuity, which now means someone's going to pick up this book. This book isn't obviously meant for someone who's never read anything to come pick
it's
up.
Not a
so
first, yeah, look.
The ultimate has the ultimate line it's now reached. Jumps
well, there? Yeah, you know, to, because this question gets asked at like every Cup of Joe panel. It's like, you know, do you see the Ultimate Line eventually taking over the 616 universe? Blah, blah, blah. I've asked it at a panel.
You did?
Yeah, 2004.
I think. Would have been easier to think of in 2004.
And his answer was, this gets asked at every panel I go to, and his answer was that he sees people that will only read the 616 universe, and that's fine. He sees people that read both, and he knows that there are people that only read the Ultimate line. And I think that they have understood that this was going to happen at some point, that there are people that only read the Ultimate universe.
Yeah.
And
you know, the biggest
it's
thing...
It's been successful.
It's been extremely
successful.
But like Tom was saying with the continuity... And the thing I liked about the Ultimate Universe when it first came out was that there was no continuity tying them down. They could, you know, you didn't know what to expect. But they fell into the trap of ultimatizing
everything.
Yeah, everything. You know what I mean? So it was like, okay, we're not really ultimatizing, ultimizing, whatever. They're not going to really tell any new stories. They're just going to take all the old ones and make them more extreme.
There's titles that fall much more prey. I think Ultimate Spider-Man is still very good.
Yeah.
But then you look at something like, I think Ultimate X-Men is the example of taking every single thing you could possibly mine out of X-Men history and then...
And redoing it.
Throwing Ultimate in front of it.
I think Spider-Man does that too, though.
Ultimate Spider-Man, honestly, I may picked that up in trades, but when I saw Ultimate Ronin, I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm just done.
Read the first Ronin.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm done.
What's the fucking turnaround now?
I was like,
Ultimate, was it a man? Was it a woman dressed as a man?
I don't know. I saw Ultimate Ronin. I was like, if this is a woman,
they caught up. The same guy's writing all of it now. He's written. Bendis has caught up to himself.
He's ultimizing himself.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Ultimate Gravity to show up. So. They get maybe Norton and McKeever back. Ultimate Runaways. You know, you're going to have the Ultimate Runaways. And
oh, it's not that far away.
I still only really read the Ultimate line, the Ultimates book when it comes out. I kind of fell off from Spider-Man.
That's good. You only have to read 12 issues every 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. But that's okay. I don't mind that so much.
It's good when it comes out. Yeah. I am looking forward to Loeb taking that over just to see what spin he puts on it.
It'd be interesting with Madeira. Madeira has
there's an ebb and flow to Madeira. Ultimate and 616, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah.
He's...
All right, well, next story, Stan Lee is walking the walk.
Well, wait, list who else got... before we all be like, oh, Stan Lee got a spot, that's
an
awesome.
Action figure.
Yeah, well, Stan Lee, a big week, he got his own action figure, which there's a great great picture that we'll, I guess, put on the forum. But he also is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this coming year. He is going to join a list that includes Angela Bassett, Kate Blanchett, Christina Aguilera, Brooks and Dunn, Ricky Martin, the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Vince McMahon.
Howie Mandel. Is it going to be? Is it on his Saint Elsewhere work or his What's in the Box work?
Oh, his What's in This Box work, obviously.
And Tim Robbins, who I think certainly...
Well, congratulations to Stan. I say what you... I mean, first off, let me say I love Stan Lee. I think that whatever anybody wants to award him with or whatever is fine. But the Hollywood Walk of Fame is... the biggest bunch of bullshit. They don't award that to anyone. You pay for it. You buy your star on the Walk of Fame. It's not like... I mean, there is a committee involved, but, I mean, you're basically buying it.
Can I mention something? I was watching the Sci-Fi Channel last night, and if you're not aware... there's a sci-fi original movie called Stan Lee's Harpies.
Never
coming
seen
out
that.
Like next
oh,
week.
Oh, it's coming out. It look good?
Wow.
Does it
is it from POW Entertainment?
I don't know. You know what? Very rarely where I say something could have used Stripperella in it. But from the previews, I like Stan Lee, but man...
Yeah, Stan's such a weird... I mean, it's such an odd place where Stan is now because, I mean, there's no denying that without Stan,
you
wouldn't...
We're still talking about him.
Well, that's just... I mean, it's like...
Without Stan, we're not doing this podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and it's just... But at the same time, it's like... It's like a great athlete that is past his prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
like Muhammad Ali in him?
Well, you know what I mean? It's like... It's just like... And Stan's a great pitch man and he's a hell of a character and he deserves everything that he gets, but it's like... He keeps trying to be relevant, and it just may not be in him any longer. I mean, you created these amazing characters and these amazing stories, but it was, 50 years ago, dude.
I think he continues to be an ambassador for comics.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I reserve judgment until I've seen Harpies.
All right.
What? Stan Lee's Harpies.
Stan Lee's Harpies.
All right.
Better than Stan Lee's Herpes. But,
that was a short-lived series.
If folks listened to our spotlight on Frank Miller last week, I hope you enjoyed it. One news story that didn't make it into...
Oh, you know what?
This
story's sort of uncanny. Correct.
Oh,
I found
he's
out
not
today.
Doing it
well,
it's well, what was the original
originally story? The story was he was going to direct an adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novella "Trouble Is My Business" with starring Clive Owen. But now it's come out that that's not necessarily true. He may be tapped to make the adaptation, but not necessarily direct it. Or
it's because he's not in the Directors Guild.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know why or whatever. I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem like. The stories as developed as initially it came out. And it came out like, and everybody sort of, well, and everybody did. I mean, it was in like, Salon and USA Today, and everybody sort of reported the same thing. But
well, it was going to hold up The Spirit, it was going to hold up Sin City 2.
Yeah, I don't know how far that story is along. We'll find out more. So,
Hey, yeah. Holy Terror Batman. After talking to folks about that and reading a little bit more, I would check it out. All right, Mark Waid and Paul Azaceta are set to release a new series from Boom called Potter's Field. And
it's interesting to see a Mark Waid creator owned.
Yeah,
title.
I think Ross from the story I read, Ross Ritchie at Boom just pretty much put him in a stranglehold and said it's time for you to do a creator-owned book.
They've been sort of promoting this for a very long time. I've seen stuff about this for like
a year and a half, two years.
Yeah, Mark Waid's a good writer, so I think.
And Paul Azaceta is a very good artist.
And I just wish Boom Books
weren't $3.99.
Yeah, the problem I had with Boom, when they first started coming out, I really liked a lot of what they were doing. But over time, they put out a lot of books that aren't as up to the quality standards of the first initial releases. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're sort of falling into that trap of releasing too many books, and the qualities aren't always up to where they should be. And I mean, some of the stuff is still really good, but some of the stuff
Hero Squared, right?
Yeah, Hero Squared,
which I think from everything I've heard is kept pretty entertaining. Now the Paul has a set of stuff I really enjoy. Talent. Yeah.
I got to the point sort of with a lot of that stuff that the $3.99 price point.
It is.
It's hard to swallow.
Absolutely.
Some of the books. But
I agree.
I think I'm going to be getting this because I love Mark Waid and it looks like a great concept.
It's kind of a crime street level
guy trying to figure out John Doe's, and the
preview pages look great. Some movie news from Iron Man. What is easily the coolest cast for a comic book movie is getting even cooler.
It's cool.
And
there's nobody cooler than this cat.
People,
I'm Nick Fury, bitch.
People have been talking about
burning hell.
It's how cool is it that basically this guy,
Ultimate Nick Fury
was basically Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now he gets to play a character that the ultimate version was basically based on him.
So. I like Sam Jackson. I think sometimes
he's too Sam Jackson.
Well, I mean, that's just it. It's Sam Jackson.
A bit
but
of
you
a
know,
parody,
yeah, a little bit. And but you know,
like Al Pacino.
I think with a character like Pacino has become, but I think it's just for a coolness factor to have him as Nick Fury.
It's Sam Jackson going to be playing Nick Fury. And what's cool about
this?
I'm the
director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There are snakes on this helicarrier.
There are snakes on this helicarrier. I hope I hear that. I want to hear that, damn it.
But what's great is that Marvel has bought back all of the rights to these characters from Marvel Studios, and now they're setting things up that...
All I know is that movie, man, it has got a cast. I mean, that is one hell of a cast for... "quote unquote" a superhero movie. I mean,
well, you see, I think you've seen
it better
Marvel,
not suck.
Once they've taken over stuff, you see much more of a premium put on cast.
Cast, yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to
special effects sort of.
I saw Fantastic Four too.
You didn't like it? Didn't care for it?
I didn't care for it.
No,
I wasn't necessarily the target though, so that was sort of. And the Hemi thing, I was like...
That annoyed me, that the Hemi thing. So the whole Dodge product placement was a little annoying,
God,
but...
Well, Iron Man is going to be good. It's going to be good.
I can't... So I hope so. It looks good.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Sad sacks. I hope this one's good.
This better not suck or I'll kill myself.
They're getting close to having all the kind of casting and the properties bought back for the movie rights to make the Avengers,
More interesting thing, not maybe more interesting, but the other interesting thing about that news is that Nick Fury is going to be in the Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
I mean, just that alone is kind of interesting, that S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury will be in the movie, which I thought they should have done that in Fantastic Four, too, the military presence they had in that. It's like, that should have been S.H.I.E.L.D. It would have been so easy to do that.
Yeah, but they didn't own the rights. That's why that movie They have so many problems. And they're never going to get the rights back because they keep making money.
All right.
Hey,
well,
almighty dollar.
Guys, that will take care of our Wired Wire comic book news.
Good.
Now it's time for Top of the Stack.
Top. Oh. Now stacks.
Present stacks.
Books we like now.
Stacks for today.
Top of the stack.
That's right. It's top of the stack. Our chance to let listener know what we, the panel,
want you to buy.
Speaking of the panel,
they all
where's Scotty?
Scotty left. His girlfriend's playing a concert.
Yeah, his girlfriend's a singer, and she's playing out. So
part-timer.
He had to go. He had to go check her out. But, hey, you know. Can't blame him.
Well, since Scotty's not here, I guess we'll let Tom go first.
Oh, yeah.
I always go first. My pick of the week, and this is the first time I've ever got to pick this title, even though we've done 112. Well, we've recorded the 112.
But, this is 111.
But I don't accidentally pick one. 111 episodes, and my favorite character is The Flash, and I've never picked
The
Flash.
But technically, we only did Top of the Stack half of those.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So 50.
It wouldn't have mattered. We could have done 200 last year. I wouldn't have picked it. So we could have done an episode a day for the last. We could have done 500 episodes.
And you wouldn't have
not have picked The Flash.
All right.
Finally, I get to pick The Flash, and it's the last issue of, well, at least this title. And it's The Flash, The Fastest Man Alive, number 13. And
unlucky.
We spoiled it earlier, but if you skipped past it, I'm also going to spoil it right now. So don't...
Spoiler!
You haven't listened.
Yeah, spoilers on top of the stack in case
spoilers
you didn't know.
Spoilers for everyone. I thought this issue actually made me tear up on the train. it's
is there
pretty
a tear
much
stain
like
on,
the
is
ultimate...
Is that a tear stain
it's a
on
tear
the cover?
Stain on the...
And then it made me tear up
because
I was thinking about Tom
crying.
Yeah.
And if you imagine me crying, it will always make you cry.
The tears of Tom Cater's.
Tears of the clown.
Tears of a clown.
They cure sickness.
Yeah, exactly. Bottle it. The Flash, The Fastest Man Alive, number 13. Bart Allen dies in the final issue of his own series. As I said earlier, sometimes you have to separate editorial from creative. I don't know necessarily editorially if Bart Allen needs to be killed, but that's entirely separate from the issue of whether or not the book where it was done was well done. And this book was really well done. There's absolutely nothing subtle about it. There's no, like, there's no sense of, like, oh, cool sense of humor or anything about it. It's just, like, a straight-up hero story about a hero like giving his all and dying, you know, and it's got no super speed in it, which I thought was sort
has
of
has there
like
ever been a Flash issue, a complete
with no,
issue with no super speed in it?
I don't know, but I can't remember one. And certainly not one where the Flash dies at the end. So Tony Daniel and Mark Guggenheim. Tony Daniel did a fantastic job on this issue.
I'm really bummed that team is not going to be doing this book anymore.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. I mean, the great thing about this issue is if you followed Bart Allen from when he was like Impulse and Young Justice and all that, and I know this will be a two-sided thing because a lot of people also have a criticism based on this, as you saw a very light-hearted character maybe grow up a bit, and there's a scene in the book where he doesn't have his super speed and all the rogues have him like pinned down, and one of them says he isn't the Flash,
there's no point in killing him.
And he said, you know, there's a big full panel scene where he says, I am the Flash, and he starts beating them, you know, just without super speed, just like fighting them like hand to hand. And I was kind of like, you know, for the first time in the 13 issues of this run, I was like, yeah, Bart Allen is the Flash. You know, that was the first time that like I truly bought into the fact that he was the Flash. It was in the last issue and he didn't have any super speed. There's also a great scene where he's chasing down Inertia, his own clone, they're racing to get to Bart's like captured, you know, speed force. They're racing to see who can get to, you know, this huge amount of speed, which is just going to end up destroying the West Coast anyway. But there's a great scene where you're seeing like
the Flash racing someone, but he doesn't have super speed. He just, it's him.
Right.
Just having to just chase his someone
willpower,
down. Yeah, his own willpower to chase him down. The final couple pages are just like wordless pages, you know, wordless entire pages. One page is Tim Drake, you know, poor getting Tim. The phone call that his other best friend, you know, has also died. Poor Tim Drake.
Yeah, I said this earlier to Chris, is like, that guy's gone through a lot in the last year or so, you know. It's like his dad gets killed three years ago,
I guess, was identity crisis.
Yeah, I guess it was. And, and you know, then Connell, his best friend, and now his next best friend. It's like, wow.
They're all dying.
Jay
Garrick and Liberty Bell, and you see the Flash Museum with the candlelight vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I was like, oh, God. Tom's just gotten really sad. But we all, if you've listened to the news, know that the Flash is coming back with All Flash number 1 and then Flash 231. And this issue also serves as a great setup for what could happen in Flash issues, because I guarantee, you know, when Wally West finds out what happens, you know, who's going to catch the rogues first?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be Wally West? Is it going to be the Titans?
Is it going to be the JSA,
JLA, or Teen Titans are going to catch these guys?
The rogues are fucked.
Yeah. Which I think is why you've seen them in Countdown up to this point, is that I think part of Countdown's going to be they're on a fucking run.
Right.
You know,
well, I think,
looking for them.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about the Rogues right now is that they are one of the centerpiece stories in Countdown, and there's some interesting things going on there with Piper and Trickster and kind of this weird relationship.
I think not necessarily all of them are going to be exactly comfortable with what happened after it happened, because the way it was presented in this book was presented in a very interesting way. And that they didn't really want to do it necessarily, and then all of a sudden they were confronted with a situation where some of them did it, and some then joined in, and they felt like they had to do it. And I think there's a lot of room to explore where certain
rogues
aren't necessarily comfortable with what happened. But certainly some of them are much more bloodthirsty than others, and I think you're going to see that, hopefully, if they, you know. Hopefully, if you're writing it correctly, you know, you'll see much more of it. You'll see that, you know, Trickster and Piper aren't necessarily cool with what happened.
Mirror Master and Cold probably are.
Well, the one thing I really kind of took away from the issue and what I thought was very fitting with Bart dying, and it was from the very first page. It was Bart in the future as a kid talking with his grandfather, and it was sort of him learning a lesson about being a hero. And that played out throughout the book, you know, being a hero isn't about the costume that you wear or the mantle that's handed down to you or the powers that you have. And you saw that in the end where it was, you know, Bart finally realizing what it is to be the Flash.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with running faster.
Fast. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I thought that was really befitting of an end for that character, because, you know, it in a sort of meta way, if you look at it outside of the actual content of the stories, it's like that character, Bart Allen, it was thrust upon him to become the Flash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the editorial at DC decided Bart's going to be the new Flash, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
And there was so much responsibility on that character and on the writers and everything, you know what I mean, to try and take over from Barry and Wally. Yeah. And in the end, you kind of look at it and go, well, it doesn't have anything to do with him calling himself the Flash. That's not what made Bart who Bart was. And it's sort of even more sad that, you know, it's like, you get this character that finally maybe, you know, grew up, but now he's gone.
You're going to make me tear up again.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
The part that really started my semi-waterworks on the train was when he was talking to his grandmother, and he was like, Grandpa Barry would know why I have to do this right now.
Right.
And he, like, knocked her out, and then he said, I can buy you 10 minutes. It was just him running around, like, shooting the tranquilizer gun without any super speed.
I really like the scene with his grandmother. brother, you know, like coming to his help, trying to help him, and because they've always had, you know, that very strained relationship, it was an excellent issue. And like I said this on the forum, the biggest disappointment about it is that Mark Guggenheim isn't going to be writing The Flash any longer, because I think he really had a great handle on the character and the legacy and everything about
when
it.
When we talked with him, which he probably already knew what was going to happen, you could just...
Yeah, he fucked with us. He used us. I can't believe it.
No, he sounded so excited about writing a character that he really enjoyed as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he gets a crack at it again.
Yeah, and nothing against Mark Waid. I mean, you know, it just... you know, like you had said before, Tom, it's like he had his, you know, shot with the Flash. He already wrote the Flash for, what, 8 years or whatever it was? So, you know, it's a little bit of a disappointment to not see Guggenheim continue and see where he was.
But it was a really nice... It was an ending with a tremendous amount of dignity and extremely well done. If you look from issue 1 to issue 13, like, you could pick up issue 13, not necessarily have read everything, and it's a great hero's...
end to a hero. Sure.
Goodbye, Bart.
To prove that we are okay with Mark Waid, I'll go ahead and go next with my top of the stack, and that is the Mark Waid written and George Perez drawn Brave and the Bold, number 4. Tom,
it's okay.
I'll be okay. Okay, keep going.
Sal, stop recording. Stop.
No.
I'm fine.
Brave and the Bold, number 4, came out this week, and this is one of my favorite DC titles right now, just because it is a darn fun book, and I get an interesting mix of characters. There's a fun overlapping story arc to it, but each issue kind of has these fun little nuggets that kind of act as a standalone. You get, you know, these little vignettes of these, you know, mini team ups, and this issue focused mostly on Supergirl and Lobo.
Bastage.
Lobo is a great character to make cameo appearances in team up books.
Sure.
I'm not a huge fan of Lobo as a character in his long. It just like reeks late 80s, 90s comics for me.
Some good minis with what was the artist? I can't think of the artist that did a lot of the Lobo minis.
Keith Giffen made him and doesn't even like him anymore. So that's sort of where Lobo is.
True enough.
He's just kind of like this, you know, over the top machismo, just kind of everything of that era.
Yeah.
But as
what's the matter, pussy, can't handle like Lobo.
Exactly. I don't like someone, you know, staring me in the face from inside a comic and saying, "What's wrong, pussy?" So
can't handle it.
I can't handle it. I can't handle the main man. But he does make a very fun complimentary character in a team up book, especially with someone like Supergirl. And they actually have a moment in this book where, you know, she's just kind of like, "Yeah, you're okay," before he's a total dick to her again. And
well, that's him.
Yeah,
he told her that she grows up all right.
Yeah, he did do that. That was kind of nice. Don't worry, sweetheart. You'll be. But I thought it was kind of creepy at one point where, because she's like supposed to be like what, 17?
Yeah.
And he's sort of hitting on her.
There was a few creepy portions.
It's like, wait a minute, she's a teenager, dude, and that's not
all depends.
Cool.
Hey, it depends on what planet you're on.
I guess maybe. I don't know. But.
Yeah, there were some, you know, creepy old man alien moments. It's like, hey, she's a minor.
Yeah.
But all in all, a very
Mark Waid's just into that. I don't know.
Between Lobo and Hal Jordan.
Yeah. But Hal realized, he's like, no. She's 17. No. Stop, Hal.
Yeah, Lobo has
everybody.
No such rules.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's something about her. That skirt she wears.
Yeah, they had some fun moments in this. You also get the Batman Blue Beetle story is really took an interesting turn where Batman is now he's
the Batbot.
He's half of the robot member of the Fatal Five, who is a Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, I can't think of his name now.
Yeah,
who controls the big dude with the brain?
It's really fucked up and weird.
Yeah.
Is it Valinus or
something like that?
It doesn't matter. It's look it up.
Robot.
Google.
Con- controller, and so there's the whole thing with Batman and Blue Beetle, which this series has turned me into a new Blue Beetle fan.
I like
Jamie as a character now.
I know, I gotta say the same thing. I really didn't care for that character or the book. I didn't even give it a chance because it was just like, new Blue Beetle.
I've caught up on those issues.
Yeah, I've been doing
that
too. They
got really good after the first like
four or five.
They got quite well written.
It is pretty good. Huh. But back to Brave and the Bold, I've really been enjoying this book too. I didn't really think I would, but it's been a lot of fun. And part of the like fun for me, the enjoyment is like the anticipation of getting to the end to see who's coming next.
Yeah, who's the next
team? Superheroes.
The Legion is everywhere.
Batman and the Legion.
But I think it's just such a great sort of, you know, not a trick, but just sort of like a gimmick almost, where it's like, you know, every issue it's somebody new. It's somebody new that's I think it's cool. I've enjoyed it so far. I've enjoyed all the different stories.
Everything you've seen so far, you see even in this issue, not even Build, or you see Green Lantern and Adam Strange.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
What are the team ups so far? We've got Batman Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And then Green Lantern, Supergirl. And then Supergirl, Lobo. Then
Batman
Blue Beetle, and now Batman
and
Legion. Is that all of them so far?
Blue Beetle in the Legion.
No, it's Batman and Legion.
I think labeled as Batman in the
Is it?
Legion,
oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's now Batman in the 31st century.
Oh, okay.
Anytime you can have Batman and Brainiac 5 near each other is fantastic, because Brainiac 5 is smarter than
Batman. And isn't afraid to tell him.
Isn't afraid, and he's also an ass, just like Batman, so... Anytime you can see those two characters get near each other, I think.
So if you can pick up the first four issues of Brave and the Bold and you've been sitting on the fence or hadn't even thought about it, and for me, as a relatively new DC enthusiast, it has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like, a lot of the characters... I think that book almost works against itself, because a lot of the characters you may initially... Like Supergirl, Lobo. I mean, like you said, it's like Lobo, whatever. You see Lobo, it's like, eh. And Supergirl, I could give a shit about Supergirl, but those two issues that they've been in together have been really fun, and you know, some of the best stuff in that book. But, you know, like Blue Beetle and some of these characters that they're pulling out that... you may not expect a like. It's just an interesting way of combining these, you know, different heroes and stuff, and the stories have just been good and fun and interesting, and it's just a darn good book.
You also get to see the Book of Destiny.
Yes, which has been an interesting story as it's going on. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's good stuff. So that is my top of the stack.
Nice.
Mr. Salazar, what do you got for
us? I'm picking a book from Wildstorm. It is The Highwaymen, number one. I believe this is a limited series, a mini series. I don't know how many issues it is, but this is number one, just came out. excuse me, I wanted to... oh, geez, I can't find the beginning where it tells where anyone worked on the damn book. Maybe it's in the end. I don't know who did this. Oh, written by Mark Bernadin and Adam Freeman, and artist Lee Garbett. Colors by Johnny Ranch, letterer Rob Lee. This is I guess it's set in the Wildstorm universe, but you don't really know that. I mean,
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I don't know that it matters. Basically, it's a story. It's a sort of politically relevant story. Seems like the near future. There's a female president, and there's this other member of her cabinet who starts off this sort of plot of having one of his operatives covertly going out and stealing something from somewhere. You don't really know where.
It's a great Mission Impossible looking scene.
Yeah. This woman, she breaks into this house and goes through lasers and all this stuff, and she steals this thing from a safe. But in doing so, she sets off sort of this contingency plan unknowingly. She doesn't realize it happens. And that's really where the story really starts. We learn about these two characters that used to be highwaymen. And we don't know exactly what the highwaymen were, but the short story on it is they were government operatives that could deliver anything, anywhere, anytime. That was their job. These two guys who became sort of legendary, it seems, in this universe, and actually almost like a myth. You know, there was like, you know, TV shows and...
Oh, those guys didn't really
exist. Yeah, exactly. But now they're
older.
Because
that couldn't have happened.
Right. And now they're older and they've been retired for a long time. The one character, he's running some sort of corporation. The other one's a bus driver. And when this thing is stolen, it sets off this contingency plan by Bill Clinton.
Their old buddy.
Their old buddy, Bill Clinton, who was... he gave them favor during his presidency so they could get away with a lot of stuff that they did when they were younger. But they've been retired for a long time, but this contingency plan happens, and he basically contacts them from the grave saying, hey, you know, something's happened that needs I need you guys to take care of. It's my worst mistake ever as a president, and you have to fix it. And so they go into action as these two older dudes, and it's very reminiscent if you're ever a fan of like 70s action films when you know like the action heroes were more like middle aged dudes that really maybe didn't have any doing the stuff that they were doing. They were kind of over the hill, and you know it wasn't the Tom Cruises and Brad Pitts of the world that were these action stars. These guys were between 35 and 45 and doing these action movies, and that's what this sort of has the feel of that kind
of. It feels like it does. It feels like a 70s action flick set in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So the one guy gets the notice about this thing that they have to do, this mission, and he goes to get the other guy, and in doing that, they start getting attacked by government agents.
I'm thinking, you know, in the movie, who these two guys
are? Oh, yeah, it's absolutely a movie plot.
It's Harvey Keitel and Danny Glover.
Maybe, yeah.
Is Danny Glover going to retire the next day?
I'm too old for this shit.
Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. It is a buddy movie. It's a buddy movie comic, but there's some more interesting stuff going on. There's obviously a lot going on that we don't get told in this first issue.
It's political conspiracy.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
I'm too old for this.
And they kind of throw you. They kind of throw you in the middle of it.
I'm driving.
They kind of throw you in the middle of it all, and you kind of figure it out a little bit along the way. But by the end of it, it's like, okay, these guys are back in action. They go back to their, you know, secret hidden base that they had stored all their stuff in for years that they haven't used, and they're going to try and, you know, reclaim the glory and do whatever they have to do for Slick Willie. It's definitely got that feel. One more run, one last job to do, and
somebody's going to meet a hooker.
It's probably with a
heart of gold.
Heart of gold, yeah. But it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. The art was fantastic on it. It had a Frank Quietly feel bit.
Sure.
Great colors, and just a fun, interesting story. It really got me excited for the next issue. I highly suggest it. I haven't really seen much like this in comics yet. There was one story that reminded me of a Warren Ellis book from Avatar, I think it was, called Red. It was about a government agent, like some sort of, you know, super high classified killer assassin CIA agent who was long retired, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but through a series of events,
new guy comes into the CIA, finds these old documents of what this guy did
and wants him put out of commission. Yeah. And so they come after him, and he's got to become what he once was. And it's very much one of my favorite films ever is The Unforgiven. Mm-hmm. Or Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood, the Western, which is just an amazing film. But it's that same sort of feel. It's like this old retired guy that's tried to get past his previous history, and now for whatever circumstances he has to come back out of retirement and become the killer or whatever it is that he once was. And that's what this sort of has the feel. So I really enjoyed it. Highwaymen, I recommend it. Go check it out.
I enjoyed it. All right, well, that will take care of our top of the stack, and that means it's time to look at next week's new comic book releases. Sal, what do we have hitting the newsstands next Wednesday?
Well, a few interesting things that I thought people may want to check out or not forget about. From DC Comics, we have Green Lantern Sinestro Corps number 1. It's $4.99. It's Geoff Johns, Ethan Van Sciver, and it's been building up to this. You've seen, if you've been reading the Green Lantern or the Green Lantern Corps books, it's been building up to the Sinestro.
I think this is
core.
I don't know if I would say quietly, but this is. I think this is going to be the more unheralded event of the summer. This is what I've really been
looking forward to. Yeah, it certainly seems to have a detached element from it. It's not going to be in, you know, it doesn't
not in Countdown.
Yeah, it's not in Countdown or anything like that.
Sinestro Corps?
Yeah,
I was in the bathroom. That's why I
Sinestro Corps is coming out this week.
Too much information.
I know, I've been really looking forward to it. I know, Tom, you had said before when this was first announced, like, it's one of those ideas, like, why didn't anyone ever think of that before, the Sinestro Corps? So, I know Green Lantern fans are really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Wonder Woman 10 is coming out, written by Jody Picolet, art by Paco Diaz, continuing the Amazon's attack storyline. I've really enjoyed Jody Picolet's take on this character, and kind of looking forward to seeing more of that. From Devil's Due Publishing, we have Sheena, number one.
Women in Jungle.
Yeah, it's Sheena fans.
That's a big deal for the guys at Devil's Due to get that
license.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
And you can get the Tim Seeley cover, or there's also a Joe Jusco, Nicholas Scott, Kerry Randolph. Oh, they're all doing covers. So,
Nicholas Scott, yay.
Yeah, our friend of the program.
Our friend of the program.
Yeah. Or someone who has an email address who
contacted us
to be Nicholas.
Oh, that's
not
true.
Not that I don't want to say that she doesn't listen. If you do, thank you. But if you
are pretending to be.
If you're pretending to be,
fuck you.
Yeah,
exactly. Dynamite Entertainment, Battlestar Galactica number 12. This is the finale of the first year of the new Battlestar Galactica comic. So, Greg Pak, who's doing a great job on the Hulk stuff. Boys number 8 coming out from Dynamite also. This is the second, I think, issue from them. And if you read the last one, it was like it never really... You wouldn't even know that they changed them. Yeah, it's the same.
I am so offended
by
everything they're doing.
From Image Comics, we have Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer number 3. This is becoming a really hot book. The first two I think have sold out.
Have they had the same cover for? I keep seeing. Is that the cover?
No, it's Death Dealer. There was, you know, it's a series of paintings, so they're kind of riffing on all the Death Dealer.
I'm gonna have to pick that up. I'm gonna have to get the collected whenever they do that.
Sorry, everyone, did not know.
Invincible number 43.
This is the one coming right off of the
$1.99.
It's a new storyline, so
it's a good time to
jump in if you have it. Invincible's great stuff. Nightly News number 6, Jonathan Hickman's
The End, finally.
The end of that series. So that's been a really great series.
The End of the Brotherhood, The Fate of the Hand.
Yes.
The voice revealed.
Do you want to just read the rest of it? The stunning conclusion. Anyway, Marvel Comics, we have Criminal number 7. More Tracy Lawless goodness coming out of that. That's just, I can't
that,
talk
that
about
is
that.
Already shaping up to be... you're going to like that better, I think, than the first arc.
Maybe. So far, the first issue was
you just
phenomenal.
Really like that, the Tracy Lawless character.
Yes.
I feel strongly in either way. I love both of them equally, like they're my children.
Powers number 25, Bendis and Oeming. I only mention this because I'm a big Powers fan, and I know like a lot of Bendis fans don't even know it exists. So if you've never read Powers before...
It's his best stuff.
Yeah, well, it's probably my favorite stuff of his.
It's his best stuff.
World War Hulk Frontline number 1. Paul Jenkins, Ramon Box.
I'm sort of interested, but I'm also remembering.
Are they going to be very upset? Are they going to be upset with the Hulk because he hasn't been watching
MySpace?
Yeah.
Hulk, who's your favorite NASCAR driver? Hulk doesn't have a favorite. You aren't in touch with America. How can you be angry and not have a NASCAR driver? That's what totally makes me.
Well,
not
maybe
pick this book up.
Maybe it'll be. More World War Hulk. World War Hulk X-Men number 1 by Christos Gage. Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm not a big crossover. I'm not picking up any of the crossover stuff for World War Hulk.
I did.
Did you? Was any of it good? Was
I
it
picked
good?
Up. Well, I get the Hulk, Incredible Hulk normally, so I got that. And that was really good.
Yes.
I picked up Iron Man by Christos Gage, and while it was well written, it wasn't necessarily.
Was that Gage or was that Knopf?
It was Gage wrote that.
Oh.
It was it was good. It wasn't necessary, though. I mean, you wouldn't miss anything.
Welcome to the world of crossovers and big events.
You know what, though? I was thinking about this, because I read that, too, and I was kind of thinking about the same thing. But I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, because think of it this way. If you don't read the Hulk or you're not reading World War Hulk and they want to do a crossover, that issue filled you on everything that happened in World War Hulk from Tony's perspective. So you're not left out of it. But you don't have to buy it to know what's going on in World War Hulk. So if they keep that going on...
Depending on your perspective, I also think that... Does any Marvel book not have a banner on it right now?
No, I don't think so. Last one from Marvel, X-Men 200. There's two of them coming out. There's a wraparound cover by Umberto Ramos and a wraparound by Chris Bachalo, but there's also a David Finch gatefold variant cover of this.
Whoa! Can I get that wrapped in foil?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. but it's X-Men 200, so you know, usually with those... even numbers, they do something.
Someone
special.
Will die.
Slave Labor Graphics. I put this one in here. I just thought this was kind of interesting. Biff Bam Pow, number one, from Evan Dorkin and Sarah Dyer. Evan Dorkin. Evan, not even.
Evan Dorkin.
Evan Dorkin.
Evan Dorkin.
I don't know if anyone here is a Evan Dorkin fan, but that he's got a new book coming out, so you might want to check that out. Trades. We got a lot of trades that are coming out this week. First from Boom Studios, we got Second Wave Volume 1.
Good series.
This was a good series, it collects the first six issues of it, so you might want to... It's basically what happens after War of the Worlds. You know, what happens next. And it had a very, I thought, Walking Dead feel to it, as far as, like, it wasn't about the aliens as much as the people involved in it and what they have to go through. So, Tom, I thought you might like this. What Were They Thinking, Volume 1, trade paperback. This is the various Keith Giffen things where they take old comics and they rewrite the dialogue boxes.
They're pretty good. It's a bit hit and miss at times.
Yeah, and they're dense, but they're pretty funny. I mean, it's interesting to see what they do with them. So, Appleseed Volume 1 from Dark Horse. This is some manga stuff. I just threw this in there because I thought people might want to see where Rob Liefeld got a lot of his stylistic...
standing in water?
Maybe. from DC, we got Showcase Presents Batman Volume 2. Gardner Fox, Bob Kaniger, and John Broom.
Batman walking around in the daylight, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This collects Batman 175 through 188 and Detective Comics 343 through 358. It's 512 pages, black and white, from the Showcase.
Some Carmine Infantino.
Goodness, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Golden Age Dr. Fate Archive Volume 1.
$75.
Well, yeah, those archives are expensive.
That's expensive for an archive.
Yeah,
they're
usually $50. This is 396 pages. It's Gardner Fox, Hal Sherman, various covers.
I mean, it's the complete Dr. Fate.
Is that what it is? It's everything. So there won't be a Volume 2.
No, it's the complete Mystic Adventures of Dr. Fate from More Fun Comics
and,
number 55
and Tom,
and 98.
As
so it's 43 issues.
I mean, it's also got the bullshit half mask shit.
Yeah, I was just gonna say for folks that listen to the Comics 101, why does Dr. Fate have a half helmet?
Because it was too hard for them to write stories where he had the full helmet and it was too powerful. His lungs were also vulnerable.
From Vertigo. From Vertigo, we got Crossing Midnight Volume 1. I haven't read this. I know a few people who read. This is a Mike Carey work.
According to sales, you're not the only one.
Yeah, but I've heard it's really good, so I do plan on checking it out in the trade. Neil Gaiman and Charles Vess Stardust hardcover.
That's the movie.
Is
the movie coming out, Stardust?
Yes.
Okay.
There is. Re-releasing this. It's an oversized hardcover edition, and it's only $40. So it's I don't know if you're interested in where the movie's going to come from. Maybe check it out. Lone Ranger Volume 1 trade paperback. I'm picking that up. You turned me on to the Lone Ranger.
It's good stuff.
It is. I mean,
it's a good Western.
I love Westerns, and it's a damn good Western. Great art. And I just think it's a really good stuff. And I'm a Lone Ranger. I don't know why I wasn't reading this book before, but for whatever reason, it was just I had no interest.
It's Lone Ranger, man.
It is Lone Ranger. It's cool.
Silver.
I am definitely going to pick that up. Fantagraphics has a couple coming out. Death by Chocolate Rude by David Yurkovich.
Agent Spitz.
Agent's Feet. Unlikely Hero comprised of...
Compromised. The organic chocolate.
This is I think the second in a volume or second volume in a series by David Yurkovich. Palestine hardcover. This was a big critical success. The Palatine by Joe Sacco. And the hardcover's coming out. I think this is the first time it's coming out in hardcover, so you may want to check that out if you want
sure
to walk around.
Continuity errors.
Yeah,
that,
maybe. Annihilation.
Jesus
book,
Christ.
There was a lot of trades coming out this week. Annihilation Book 3 hardcover from Marvel. Keith Giffen, Christos Gage, Stuart Moore. This collects Annihilation number 1 through 6. Annihilation Heralds of Galactus number 1 and 2. And Annihilation the Nova Corps file. Irredeemable Ant-Man Volume 1 Digest. It's $9.99. Yeah, just in time for the series to be canceled.
Just in time for a format that kids won't like.
Digest size. Well, it is small. Ant-Man, small. It collects 1 through 6. Ultimates 2 Volume 2 trade paperback.
There should be a block on that where you can't read it in less than 2 years.
This is collecting Ultimates 2.
Wait 6 months
Wait
to turn
six
this
months
page.
Yeah.
Number 7 through 13, if you've been trying to keep up with this, it's finally out. Wolverine Blood and Sorrow trade paperback, Stuart Moore, Rob Williams. It's Wolverine number 41 and 49, Giant Size Wolverine number 1, and X-Men Unlimited number 12.
If you missed that Giant Size Wolverine number 1, definitely look into picking this up. It's the first time I had, become aware of David Aja's art. So if you're a fan of Immortal Iron Fist, it's a great read.
And this trade is interesting. It's 4 different stories. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're connected in any way, but...
Well, they're bloody and very
and
sad.
And sorrowful.
Blood and sad.
Moonstone has sort of an interesting book. It's called Naked Artist and Other Comic Book Legends. This is by Brian Talbot, who did
Heart of Empire.
The Heart of Empire and the Luther Arkwright stuff. This is a book about sort of outrageous stories from conventions and his work in the industry and just like crazy stuff that he's seen and done. So
it looks pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of a neat concept from a guy who put out some crazy stuff.
Good job. I buy that.
All right. And then one is Last Call Volume 1 from Oni Press. This one, it was a story I just thought was interesting. Out on a midnight drive, two friends, Alec and Sam, are hit by the ghost train, an interdimensional soul carrier. They wake up to discover themselves.
The soul train?
This train.
They're hit by the soul train?
This train burned down 20 years ago.
They find themselves stuck on the train with no way out and no ticket, which is a problem when the conductor comes around. As they desperately search for an escape, the boys uncover clues that lead them deeper into the train's musty cabins and into the path of a killer. I just thought it
sounded cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It sounded cool. I'm like, oh, that.
Nice.
So that is our new releases for next week, so go check some of that stuff out.
Look for those. Look for all those trades at your local comic shop. But if you don't find them there, definitely remember In Stock.
In Stock
always
trades.
Always good.
Yeah, sure.
And I know Cameron's good about having all those the day they are available.
So there you go.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Go home now.
All right, guys, there are a few different ways you can interact with the show. One of them is by leaving us a voicemail. Sal, how do folks go about doing that?
They can call us at 1-888-65-GCAST.
And follow your instructions.
Follow the instructions on the website. It's kind of complicated, but it's worth every moment.
Absolutely. You can also send us an email at info@aroundcomics.com or at either Chris, Tom, or Sal at Around Comics. And we got a few this week. This one is from Martin Gray in Edinburgh. It says, "Hi, chaps. Thanks for the response on this week's show. It was the best yet. What do you mean? I've only heard 2. I downloaded the Fine Comics 101 and JSA. I guess we read his email last week.
Did we?
Apparently. Just one point about the JSA show. The discussion, we could easily have left people with the impression that Wonder Woman was a golem. Yeah, she was made of made from clay, but a second later, zapped by the Greek god ladies, was flesh and blood, and she remained that way. So from clay with a qualifier is okay, but not of. So she's not made of clay.
He says, does that get me into the all nerd squadron? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
We'll send you your badge.
Fucking train spot.
Scotty's going to record a Beebleborp and send it to you. As for Future Comics 101, has the Legion been done yet? Fit that into 90 minutes
people.
And stay fashionable. You could find a Coordinate or Intertron. He's talking that damn Legion talk.
I make a promise that we will do a Legion episode.
You're going to do a Legion?
Eventually.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are asking for it. A lot of people are confused by the Legion, myself included. So I will need no help with the Legion, but Tom, hopefully
I'll
will.
I'll try at some point.
Maybe we can get John.
Hey, episode 300.
There you go. Episode 300 is...
All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's hold on to that next email because it has to deal with Scotty. So we'll let him read that next week.
Okay. Well, this one is actually not an email. It's a postcard.
Yeah, our first
from
postcard.
From beautiful Cancun, Mexico. It says, hey, gang.
Yeah, it's Cancun.
Cancun. What did I say?
Cancun.
Beautiful
Cancun, Mexico.
It says, hey, gang. Greetings from Cancun. We saw a crocodile wash onto the beach this morning. My wife, Kim, said I better come up with something good for our 10-year anniversary. I think I nailed it. I have to admit, though, that I've missed checking up on the forums. Hope you guys are doing well, and I'll check up on you when I get back in the U.S. Hope to catch you all in person at Wizard World Chicago. See ya, Random. Well, thank you, Random,
thank
but
you,
I will
Random.
Say, please... Don't be like Chris. When you're on your 10-year wedding anniversary and on a beach somewhere with your wife, don't think about us.
I was checking up on your wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh!
Where were you? We're a fucking crocodile washed up on a
Cancun.
Beach.
He was in, I don't know, Cancun somewhere? Cancun. Cancun.
I can respect that he missed checking up on the forum.
This is sort of like a Crisis on Infinite Earths where crocodiles are showing up in Mexico.
So is it sad whenever you're on a tropical island and you go up to the...
Where's the nearest Wi-Fi connection?
Do you guys have Wi-Fi here?
But it's kind
of cool. I
check
my
email. Yeah, John Sundress.
Exactly. Hey, John.
I'm sorry. That kills me.
John, come here. Sit down.
Hey, I want to say it's really cool that we got a postcard. I'd like to have more of these, so if anyone wants to send us postcards, please feel free. You can send them to
Attention Around Comics.
Care of Dark Tower Comics, 4835 Northwestern Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60625. USA.
Send your erotic postcards
Earth.
To Care of
Planet Earth.
Sector 2814, I believe.
Send any erotic postcards to Thomas.
Wow. John!
Boys.
Buddy.
How come I'm not sitting on Scotty Young's lap right now?
He had to run.
Left, and we're finishing the show. So
I know, so don't... That's why I was happy to just be a bystander. Exactly, a bystander.
No, people...
But I'm sorry, he killed me. Where's the nearest Wi-Fi?
This is like unforgettable. We're editing... This is old clips of you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's like unforgettable.
It's like Forrest Gump. Yeah.
It's what's the white noise phenomenon? You know, the movie with Michael Keaton where you can hear, like, the
the Bears are going to be great,
like,
John.
Yeah, yeah, so whatever. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Yeah. Boy, oh, boy, this Crosstown Classic has got me all in a dither.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
my knee.
All right, let's wrap it up, boys. Yeah.
So you don't want to read this last email? You want to...
Let's save that one for next week. Let's save it for
Scotty. Is it about Scotty?
It's about Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty needs a help.
Poor Scotty
Hayden.
He does.
It's just sad.
All right, well, anyway... you can join our Friends of the Program is another way to sort of help us. You can go to aroundcomics.com and download, print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention it on the show as well as you and post it on our website. Become a Friend of the Program today.
All right. You can join our Frapper map. It's one way. So I think we had one, but we'll
hold off
folks,
until we got a couple more.
All right. You can take me up on my personal favorite, which is the iTunes Music Review. Just go to the iTunes Music Store.
Tell us how much you hate us.
Write a review and
or don't think about us one way or another.
So special thanks to Geeky White Guy, the Polish Enforcer, Winter
I love
Day,
that name.
The Polish Enforcer. Winter Day, AZ or Arizona Brian, Spoonshoe, and Devin H.
I love the guy who gave us 5 stars and then wrote in his description 5 stars.
Yeah, that was good.
It's good enough.
Very clever.
We are proud of our... Check out all the great things that Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We post next week's topic on Tuesdays or Wednesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com. Remember, you can also visit us at... Take that out of there. We just talked about Comic Space.
No, we didn't.
Damn you, Chris.
The last episode we did.
Oh, all right. Remember, you can visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics or around MySpace.
If you're sick of wading through strippers and online comics and web comics and you still want to interact with us, too bad. The closest you can get to is the... becoming a proud member of the Comics Podcast
you had nowhere.
Stymied himself
you
there.
You locked yourself in a wall.
I like when Gator sees us out.
Stat your own Comics Podcast.
I painted myself into a verbal corner.
I started to grind to a halt. That was awesome.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. And thank you again to InStock Trades for sponsoring this episode. Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paper. Paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
And don't forget about our Be a Hero contest. We've got just over a week left, so we're almost to our goal. Help us out, folks. The contest rules are very simple. Make a donation at heroinitiative.org and help veteran creators in need. Then send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com letting us know that you did it. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into a drawing that will take place at the end of June. The contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com, and they're including $100 in gift certificates good for anything at InStockTrades.com.
Wow. 100.
That's a hell of a deal.
Heck yeah. In addition to a $50 gift certificate, the first place winner will receive a prize pack including a one-of-a-kind hardcover edition by Jeffrey Brown's. I'm going to be small, an autographed, what do you say?
Rare Scotty Young
sketchbook, a Mike Norton Fallen Son edition Captain America sketch, and more.
I've been to Scotty Young's place. You can't swing a dead cat in that place without hitting.
He's got stacks of those things.
Yeah. He's got a closet full of them. Second prize is a $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades.com. So donate at heroinitiative.org, then email us at hero@aroundcomics.com. Entries need to be in by June.
Stop being so selfish.
That's great motivation, Tom. Nice work.
The one thing comic book fans can relate to is shame. And I think by playing to the shame card, I think we're going to. And hey, everyone, shut up.
Thank you, Jason L. So.
Zach Anart, mm-hmm. Josh Shippey, thank you. That's from me to you. Shippey.
We've had about 15 or so entries, so your odds still very good for getting all the prizes.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Sal.
Chris, Tom, John, Ghost of John Suntress. Scotty was here for a little while.
The edited Ghost of John Suntress.
Thanks for Dark Horror. Dark Tower. Dark Horror. Dark Tower.
Dark Horror. I like the Dark Horrors that come out of Dark Tower.
Thanks to Dark Tower for hosting us, as always. Mm-hmm. Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back again.
We'll begin.
You suck at this.
Thursday? I don't.
Our next televised game.
Hey, come back on Thursday. We've got to talk with the dulcet tones of Sal.
That's right.
You can hear more dulcet tones of Sal and others on Thursday. We're going to be talking with David Peterson.
Mouse
He's
Guard.
The creator of Mouse Guard.
Mr. Mouse, as I like to call him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't necessarily invent mice or swords, but he put them together.
And
it's like peanut butter and chocolate,
something baby.
Wonderful.
You got swords in my mice.
Mice in my sword.
You got a claymore in my mouse.
God, it's like the Boys all over again.
The Boys, it would have been jammed up someone's ass.
Everyone, have a fantastic couple days. We'll be back again on Thursday. In the meantime, John, take us home.
We'll see you in and around. And around.
We'll be everywhere in
and
around. God.
I still don't know what the close line is.
We edited John in really well. Let's do it every week.
I know, I can't help it.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah.